Hello everybody and welcome to this Wednesday video, which is very unusually sponsored, this time by The Sojourn. Some of you may already be familiar with it from the Space Dock YouTube channel, but for those of you who aren't, it's a sci-fi full cast audio drama. So that means that unlike an audiobook, which normally is read by a single voice actor, this has every character voiced plus a narrator. There's a backing soundtrack and various sound effects. The first season's already done, and it's 3 episodes into the second season. You can find it on various streaming services, Spotify, Audible, Patreon, Nebula, etc., etc. There's a website link in the video description that you can go and check out. And until the end of the month, the first 3 episodes of season 1 are available for free on the Sojourn YouTube channel. Again, check the links below. And as for why you're hearing about this from a Naval History channel, well, the creators of the show have actually paid attention to the ships of the show. You'll find that their use, tactics, and even designations all have clear parallels in real-life historical naval combat, of course tweaked for the fact they're in outer space, which makes it much easier to follow, anticipate, and enjoy the voyages, battle, and lore that make up the Sojourn's universe. So thanks very much to The Sojourn, and on with the show. So today, at the request of the fine folks on Patreon, we're going to talk a little bit about battle carpentry in the Age of Sail, or more specifically, how carpentry would be used in the realm of damage control should you happen to find yourself in a wooden warship at sea in the middle of a furious carronade, or cannonade if you're fighting at longer distances. Nonetheless, the first thing is who would be doing the battle carpentry, and how many people would this group be made up of? Well, the simple answer, as you might expect, would be the ship's carpenter, but exactly how many ship's carpenters you might have depends on the size of your ship, assuming that, you know, disease, injury, or something else hadn't diminished the ranks. A large vessel, like, say, a first-rate ship of the line, would have a master carpenter, and he might have several assistants, carpenters, mates. As the ship decreases in size, so you go down to maybe a third rate, or a fourth rate, or a large fifth rate, once you're entering frigate realms, etc., firstly, the number of carpenters, assistants, apprentices, or mates, depending on your terminology and where they are in their training, would decrease, until eventually you would be down to just the carpenter, and then his assistant, whatever rank that person held. And then you'd be down to just the carpenter, which would probably still be a master carpenter. And then as ships got smaller and smaller, you might not even have someone who was a fully fledged master carpenter aboard. It might just be a carpenter's mate, which in the latter part of the Age of Sail was an actual proper rank, obviously one step below an actual carpenter. And don't let the title necessarily fool you. Now, of course, these days, a carpenter is, generally speaking, someone who's part of what you might call the trades, the builder's trades mostly, or a skilled maker of furniture or something like that. And whilst, obviously, these people are very skilled in what they do normally, back in the day, a ship's carpenter was potentially considerably more skilled, because to be a full ship's carpenter usually meant you were actually in many ways your own shipwright. You had to completely understand the construction of ships and be able to essentially build ships and or supervise the building of the ship, depending on obviously how large the ship was, which of course has some obvious advantages when you're trying to repair a ship in the middle of combat, or as we'll see, perhaps in the immediate post-combat terms. And thus a carpenter's mate, although not a full carpenter, would still be an incredibly skilled craftsman. Now, on top of these people who have the knowledge requisite for some of the activities we're about to describe, you could, of course, also enlist the aid of various members of the ship's crew on an ad hoc basis, depending on the scale of your task and who was around at the time. But this latter could not be completely relied upon, because, of course, if you're in the middle of trying to do battle carpentry, that usually means the ship is in battle, and everybody else on the ship has something else they should be getting on with, usually firing the guns, if you want to look at the vast majority of the sailors involved at that stage. But of course, some things will have more priority than others. So you might have the gun crew from a dismounted gun, if they're not necessarily immediately needed in other gun crews. They might be somewhat available. Or if you have a very, very serious situation going on with the loss of some form of major propulsive element like a mast or a very big hole at or below the waterline, then again, priorities shift and suddenly people might find themselves told by midshipmen or lieutenants, well, you are now going to go and help out the carpenter because it's all very well you sitting there and or standing there and shooting apart the enemy in the next 10 minutes. But if we sink in the next two, that's not going to do us any good. So now we know who is going to be doing the battle carpentry. Where would you find them? Well, on a ship that was big enough to actually have an orlop deck, that being the first deck that's underwater, that is generally where you would find a ship's carpenter. This is for a number of reasons. Firstly, a ship's carpenter is a non-commissioned officer in most navies for the age of sail, and therefore would not be expected to berth and mess with the regular men who are mostly based on the gun decks. However, he's not a commissioned officer, and therefore he's not going to get one of the plum cushy assignments of getting a cabin right aft above the waterline, like the captain and some of the lieutenants, and in if you're on a big ship, an admiral might have. So he's going to be down on the orlop deck with people like, say, the ship's surgeon and so forth. Now, this does, of course, mean he has his own cabin, which is good. It's below the waterline, which you might think is not so good in terms of ventilation and such, but there is a certain method to the madness, because not only are most of the ship's stores down at this level, as is his workshop, but it means that when battle commences, the ship's carpenter is, by default, in a relatively safe location, because although shots holing a ship of the line or a frigate in the age of sail below the waterline can happen, they are vastly rarer than a broadside of round shot blowing through the upper works of a ship. And since a ship's carpenter, as we said, is a very skilled craftsman and in a very short supply, the last thing you want is your carpenter being taken apart by a cannonball 10 minutes before the main battle has been joined by some random lucky long-distance fire. Of course, that's not to say the carpenters and their assistants were any less brave than anybody else aboard the ship, and that's not to say they wouldn't risk the fire of the enemy. They absolutely would, but their default starting position was one of relative safety, which meant that when it came time to risk themselves, it was only when it was absolutely necessary in furtherance of their duties. Plus, of course, rather obviously, the single biggest threat that a carpenter could deal with was if the ship started to take on water, which meant there was a hole below the waterline, and well, if you're already below the waterline, you're much closer to where you need to be, for the most part. And in addition to the stores and accommodation, usually the carpenter's workshop would be down here as well. For a variety of reasons, again, it's a relatively safe environment. It's also not really a suitable workshop to have up on the gun decks because, well, there are guns there. They tend to get in the way. If you've ever been on a preserved ship like Constitution, Victory, Gilland, Constellation, Unicorn, Trincomalee, or one of the replicas like Hermione, then you'll know that the gun decks tend to run from all the way up front, where you've got bow chaser positions, all the way down the side, until either the right aft of the ship or until you hit the cabins, at which point there just isn't the space to have a carpenter's workshop there anyway. And so down here, he'll have his tools. He'll have some things he's prepared earlier, because obviously the ship's carpenter will also in, well, relative peacetime, i.e. times when people aren't actively shooting at you, be either preparing for when that occurs or preparing other things that the ship might find useful. So, you know, repairing muskets and boarding pikes, or trimming and improving the ship's gun carriages, and all the day-to-day maintenance that you need to do. And depending on what navy you're in and what time period you're in, the carpenter may either be charged with producing additional ship's blocks, or the block and tackle system that manages the ship's rigging, or in later periods, especially in the Royal Navy once early industrial production had got going, the pre-made standardized ship's blocks might well be stored in the carpenter's workshop, either just because it was a safe place to store them, or because they might need a little bit of refining here and there, because although they're all standardized, of course, things do vary very slightly on the ships themselves, and so a very few minor changes might be needed. So that brings us on to materials. Well as smaller items like blocks, whether made aboard ship or just refined aboard ship or just taken wholesale from production lines, and the carpenter's tools and such like, also down there on the lower decks would be the raw materials, if you like, that could be used by a ship's carpenter, either to repair weather or battle damage. And this would consist of a certain amount of planking, some raw wood, but relatively small amounts of that, as well as a number of components for the ship's masts and yards and rigging. Now, a ship's yard arm normally would be somewhat too large to get down onto an orlop deck, and so those would often be stored either on the upper decks or potentially lashed to the lower portions of the masts, but it depends on the size, shape and weight of them, and also the layout of the ship. For one very obvious reason, in battle, it's not necessarily a good idea to have your rough cut replacement spars and so forth lashed to the lower portion of your mast, because the lower portion of your mast is going to be a prime target for enemy shot. And the last thing you want is, the mast has gone over the side and the shot that did it also broke everything we would use to repair it. So at that point, putting it down on the deck or trying to store it somewhere else might be a good idea. Again, depending on the size of the ship. Some ships were occasionally known to send some of their larger rough cut bits of timber over the side to be towed with the ship's boats if they had enough warning going into battle. And some ships, paradoxically, although smaller, were known to store some of their larger timbers that were there for replacement purposes lower down in the ship, partly because they had fewer decks to maneuver them through, so it was a little bit easier to do, and partially because once you got down to the really small stuff like brigs and schooners and so forth, you might not necessarily actually have multiple full decks, so simply lowering your rough-cut timber a little bit down into the ship was not necessarily the hardest task in the world. And that's just the timbers. Of course, there's a whole load of other materials which would be available to a carpenter, but we'll cover those on a situational basis as we move on. So, in battle, what would a ship's carpenter be expected to repair? And also, perhaps, what would he not be expected to repair? That is perhaps just as important. So we'll cover what's not being repaired in the middle of battle in typical conditions first. It's a relatively short and obvious list to a certain degree. Firstly, shot damage above water. This is, broadly speaking, not going to be repaired. If it's just above the waterline, then yes, that would be a repair priority. But let's say we're taking a typical ship of the line of the era, the third rate, so two full gun decks. If the upper gun deck has been riddled with shot holes fighting another third rate, this is not going to be something that the ship's carpenter is going to be expected to fix in battle. It does not, in and of itself, unless, again, there's a certain special circumstances which we'll cover in a minute, in and of itself, it is not a major threat to the ship. It's not necessarily cosmetic damage, especially if you're standing nearby and you've been hit by splinters, but it is not an immediate fatal risk to the ship, and therefore it's not worth expending the limited amount of material they have on hand and risking their very valuable lives in order to patch up when there's better stuff they could be getting on with. Gun carriages are another one. Now that might surprise you, because you might think, well, hang on, isn't getting guns back into action a priority? In theory, yes, and in certain circumstances, such as, let's say, a very spectacularly lucky or unlucky, depending on your point of view, cannon shot has taken one of the wheels off a gun carriage, then some element of the ship's carpentry complement may be called in to help the gun crew replace the wheel. Obviously, at that point, you've got the gun crew to help wedge the whole gun up, get the repairs going. It should be relatively quick, even if it's just jury-rigged, and then the gun can get back into action. However, that is a spectacularly unlikely turn of events. more broadly speaking, if a cannon shot has come in and smashed a gun carriage, well, firstly, again, if you've ever been on one of those museum ships I listed or several others, you'll know that a gun carriage is a relatively complex bit of carpentry to put together. And secondly, unless you're looking at a very, very small ship, the ship's cannons will weigh upwards of several tons apiece. If you've got a 3, 4, or 5 ton lump of iron that was sitting on a wooden carriage, now all lying on its side because the carriage has been smashed up, with the best will in the world, one, the chances of you repairing that carriage in anything like reasonable time is pretty much slim to none, and two, even if you had some, let's say, IKEA-style flat-pack gun carriages that you'd been building down below, who exactly are you going to find to help you lift a 24 or 32-pounder cannon back onto said gun carriage? That's not going to happen. And then you've got all the ropes that you need to stop the gun bouncing across the deck the first time you fire it. So don't be expecting the ship's carpenters to be repairing the gun carriages in the middle of battle, unless it's very rare, very minor, but annoyingly inconveniencing damage. And the last thing they're not going to be repairing is major damage. Now, that might sound a little bit odd because, of course, major damage could be a major threat to the ship, but again, it comes down to practicality. To, for example, replace a ship's mainmast normally requires a stepping tower or a stepping hulk and an extremely large and heavy piece of timber. Not only do ships not tend to carry spare mainmasts as a rule of thumb, but also no matter how superhumanly strong the carpenter is, there is no way he's going to be able to detach what is presumably the tangled and messed up remains of a mainmast and lift it bodily out of the ship and put in a new one in the middle of battle or indeed at sea at all. Some ships would, with the assistance of their carpenters, replace damaged or destroyed masts whilst they were in the course of their voyages, but that usually required improvising, having gone ashore, found some necessary timber, trimmed it all, and then used the ship's other masts, which hopefully were somewhat more intact, as improvised cranes to help get the broken one out and replaced. This, of course, is not going to be something that's going to happen in the middle of a battle. So that's what they're not repairing. What are they repairing, though? Well, this falls into three broad categories of damage. Firstly, propulsion damage. And of course, since we're talking about the Age of Sail, that means the masts, the sails, and the rigging. Now, the sails are the domain of the ship's sailmaker, and the rigging is the domain of, well, pretty much everybody, but especially the top men. But as we mentioned before, the ship's carpenter would be expected to carry a supply of blocks, the pulley blocks that actually allow you to manipulate several tons of timber and several more tons of canvas without needing hundreds of men. And those are, of course, somewhat vulnerable to potentially being damaged by incoming enemy fire, or potentially could have been carried away when the lines that they were attached to were severed by incoming fire or by bits of mast collapsing and so forth. And so if the crew in general and the topmen and the sailmakers in particular are perhaps rigging new sails or new rigging or literally jury rigging to try and ensure that the ship is able to still maneuver whilst it is being engaged, then of course the carpenter and his mates will be providing the blocks, fitting the blocks, and ensuring that everything is working in that particular department. This would, however, be something of an edge case for battle carpentry, although it did happen, simply because it is a very complex operation to carry out in one of the most exposed areas of the ship. And if ships are engaged in a battle and they've lost part of a mast, then they will probably rather just keep going with the other two and fight with those until later on when they can sort it out properly. So replacing block and tackle would either be a case of, well, we've broken off the engagement for the minute and we're dressing our damage, which does happen, especially in 1v1 ship duels, or potentially that the battle has taken some kind of pause and we're expecting to resume battle a little bit later on. Actually replacing block and tackle in the middle of a full-on broadside engagement, while not unknown, would be exceptionally rare. The other form of propulsion damage that you would typically see a carpenter repairing would be damage to the ship's masts. Now, that forms two subcategories. Firstly, if the masts have been damaged, so let's say a round shot has taken a chunk out of them, now, of course, the mast is weakened, the ship being maneuvered around, the wind changing direction, potentially the ship coming into contact with another ship, or more cannon rounds may cause the mast to fail. So if it is possible, you may find the ship's carpenters are called upon to at least temporarily patch up the mast. Now, you can never restore a mast that's had a chunk taken out of it back up to full strength, but what you can do is pack the gap with loose timber, perhaps even some of the timber that was shot out of it in the first place, and attach planking to the outside, which again is not going to completely restore its strength, but will partially restore its strength, and might just be the difference between that mast going over or not. And whilst it might sound very much like a band-aid on a gaping wound, it could be quite vital to the outcome of the combat, because if a ship's mast actually breaks and the mast goes down, that is usually quite catastrophic for the ship's chances in the battle that it's fighting, partly because the fallen masts and shrouds might then actually mask your guns, so they can't fire because they can't see, and if they did, they'd be firing through the sails, which they might set on fire, and then, well, you're on fire, which isn't good. Also, it can drag in the water, and that will potentially destabilize the ship because you have a huge weight over on one side. It can also act as a bit of an anchor and pull the ship off of course. And of course, a mast is linked to all the other elements of the ship's rigging, including the other masts, by all the ship's lines, at which point, if it goes over, it could stress the other masts, and then you could be looking not just at propulsion being potentially partially crippled, but completely crippled, if, say, the main mast takes the fore and mizzen masts with it, or badly weakens, stresses, and partially destroys the rigging involved, which would make those sails uncontrollable as well. So anything that you can reasonably do to mitigate the risk of this occurring is worth doing in battle. But if a mast has already gone over, either through repeated shots that they weren't able to be addressed, or potentially because it was just a really, really good shot, then the ship's carpenter might be called into play to try and jury-rig a temporary mast. So you see instances of this happening famously at the Battle of Trafalgar, where ships are dismasted, and in some cases, what's left of some of those masts will be recovered, or perhaps the spare timber that we mentioned earlier might be brought up or untied, and used to create a relatively short and temporary, but still usable mast from which a sail and usually the ship's colours can be hung. And this might be just to ensure the ship maintains steerage way, so it can dictate where it's going in terms of direction, if not necessarily any particularly great distance. Or if the wind is good enough, that might allow it to crawl along in a particular direction if you're really determined to continue to take the fight to the enemy. But in either case, is a far superior situation to having no mast at all and just drifting around at random. The next type of repair that a carpenter might be called to undertake would be structural. Now, of course, a ship is made up of multiple different components when we're talking about the hull, but in terms of structural elements, you're talking about things like the keel, the ship's framing, sometimes known as the ribs, various beams that support the deck, and the deck itself, whilst not structural, obviously has a certain amount of utility for people trying to get around while the ship is in battle. Now, if holes are simply being poked through the planking, that in and of itself is not a threat to the structural integrity of the ship. If the keel is broken, then something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, because how on earth did you manage that in an age of sail gunfight, unless you've gone aground, but that's a separate matter, not strictly related to the battle. So it's far more likely that you'd be talking about some of the major beams or frames being broken by incoming fire. Now, luckily, most of these frames are very large, very thick pieces of timber, and therefore, even being impacted by a 32-pound or 24-pounder cannonball is not necessarily going to break them. In fact, the shot might just stick in them, or at worst, take a chunk out of them. That in and of itself might not actually threaten their structural integrity and therefore the structural integrity of the ship itself, but multiple shots can build up, a lucky shot here or there, and particularly with decking, you know, you don't want holes in the decking or loose deck planks which might cause people to fall through, get legs trapped, or, you know, stab themselves on bits of broken wood and so forth. Therefore, this kind of repair, although relatively rare, would be undertaken fairly rapidly by the ship's carpenters. But location would be very key to this, because, for example, if some of the ship's frames right adjacent to where a gun is being fought have been shot through by incoming fire, that is not going to be something the ship's carpenters are going to prioritize fixing, because they'd be getting in the way of the gun crews being able to fight back, and Age of Sail ships of the line, for example, and to a certain extent frigates as well, have more than enough frames or ribs that having one or two shot through or partially shot through in a few specific locations is not going to be an immediate threat to the vessel. It's only if you have something really, really key, like a major crossbeam that's holding up a good portion of the deck, that you would start to get carpenters up there immediately nailing planks and so forth to try and shore things up. The most common kind of battle damage, therefore, that a ship's carpenter would be expected to fix as it happens is going to be related to the ship's ability to stay watertight. So this means shot holes at immediately above or immediately below the waterline, because of course the ship is rolling and pitching all the time, so at any given point when a cannonball arrives, that area that is on average the waterline may be varying, and so you might end up with a hole several feet below the waterline occurring with a ball coming through the side while that bit of the hull is actually out of the water, and then of course comes back down in, and then of course you've got wave action which is going to vary that even more. This is, for obvious reasons, a bad thing. Age of Sail ships generally don't have any form of compartmentalization or watertight bulkheads the way that you might expect on an iron or steel ship. And so leaks can be fairly dangerous to the ship fairly quickly. Now, how would you solve this problem? Well, anyone who's done damage control training will know that water can come in at a pretty voracious rate, even when it's only a few feet below the waterline. And it also depends on how big this hole is. So with very small holes, you might use packing timber, which again might actually be lumps of the timber that were actually shot out by the ball that hit it, as well as wooden wedges to, broadly speaking, seal the gap. And then you can pack what's left with whatever packing material you happen to want to use. You could use unpicked rope, you could use random bits of cloth, you could use further wooden wedges, or a combination of all of the above, but that's for a relatively small thing. For a larger hole, you might go for nailing fresh planking over that hole. That might be the quickest way of covering over a particularly large amount of water that would otherwise come in. And then get around to the fine detail of ensuring a better seal, either immediately thereafter, if there's no immediate call for your services, or if there are other calls for your services, which given that you might have 30, 40, or 50 rounds shot at you with every broadside, there probably would be, then it might just be down to the pumps to bail out whatever water is still making it through, because the main point is cut off the most amount of water. And for still larger holes, then there are a number of options, because a larger hole might not be able to be immediately accessed. So small to medium-sized holes, the amount of water that's flowing through, you can work with or work around. A much larger hole, you might need to either close off very, very quickly or staunch, at the very least, or it might be coming in just far too fast and with far too much force for you to do much of anything in the vicinity of it. Now, for this, and perhaps for some of the medium-sized ones as well, packing the hole could be a thing. So to pack a hole, you might typically use a bit of old sailcloth or something like that, perhaps wrapped around some lumps of wood. And although it's not completely watertight, it forms a relatively speaking solid and mostly water-resistant mass, which you're using to replace the mass that previously existed where the hole now is. That hopefully will minimize the amount of water coming through, and that might then immediately allow you to conduct either wedges or planking or some other form of immediate damage control to curtail the vast majority of the water flow. In the absolute worst circumstances, and this may be in battle or maybe immediately post-battle, because if we're looking at this kind of damage, your ship's probably going to be falling out of line pretty quickly, where you might have a hole several feet across, then there are some more advanced methods you might use. For example, certainly on smaller craft, and occasionally on larger ones if you can engineer it, you might take either an old or new sailcloth. It really doesn't matter too much whatever's in reach at this stage because of the danger involved. And with the help of various other people, you might then lower that over the side of the ship, perhaps over the bow or stern, and maneuver it such that it gets dragged down to where the hole in the hull is, and then placed over it by means of obviously ropes attached to said sailcloth. And then the pressure of the water should force that in to the hole a little bit. Now, of course, sailcloth, canvas, cotton, whatever it is not waterproof. But this, held on by the water pressure, will massively reduce the flow coming in. And also, if you're putting a fair bit of packing material in, it might also restrain that packing material from falling out immediately. And then you can go about patching it up in one of the various ways we've discussed already. And that is a very quick summary of the most immediate forms of battle carpentry you might be called upon to do. Now, there are, of course, a few edge cases. For example, if the ship's rudder is shot away or the tiller is broken or something like that. But those are relatively rare and obviously specialist case-by-case issues. And we have very generally described how you might patch something on the waterline, you know, by use of hammering in fresh planking or using packing or wedges or a mixture of all three, simply because, again, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. What timber do you have available? What tools do you have available? How big is the hole? How urgent is it? How many other holes do you have to patch? Etc., etc. Plus, these are all very rapid, hasty repairs. They're not designed to be long-term fixes. They're designed to be done as fast as humanly possible, using the minimum amount of material as possible, because, of course, as I said, you have a limited amount of these spare parts and replacement materials on board, and in the middle of a battle, you don't know how many other areas of repairs you're going to be called into. Your main objective is simply to keep the ship functioning long enough for the battle to be decided, ideally in your favour. Shattered masts can be replaced either at home or by going to a nearby friendly or neutral port, or in extremis, improvising with local materials in a random bay. If you have holes in the hull, that's obviously ideally much more carefully sorted by sawing out shattered timbers or trimming them, and then replacing them with much bigger bulk wood, and then sealing all of that in place. But again, that's a matter of time and also material, which will usually require a visit ashore, whether friendly, neutral, or completely random. And the ship's carpenter, and possibly his assistants, will also usually be on hand for that, in part because while they did the temporary patching, they know what they did, and also, as we said, they were very skilled in the first place, so they probably know best how exactly to fix this problem with their ship, either so that they can safely get home, or potentially even so that they can continue in their mission, whatever that happens to be, blockade, patrol, or meeting up with the enemy the next day when battle is rejoined. So, hope you've enjoyed that high-level overview, and hope to see you again in another video.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.